It's not even, it's
morning. All right, well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. And welcome in. Sorry we're getting started just a little bit late, but we forgot to set an alarm this morning, and I didn't get up till 9:05, so...
I tried to wake you at 8:30.
Yeah, Mandy tried to get me up at 8:30, but I was just tired this morning. We were here till about 10:30 last night finishing up. And by the time we got home, got settled, and finally got into bed, it was about 11:30 midnight. And today was just one of those days that...
It didn't feel like a Sunday when we woke up either.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a Sunday, and just felt like we could sleep. And but we're glad you're here this morning. And, of course, our anniversary Sunday of the church. And so this morning we're going to continue through with our discipleship class. And let's see, I'll have Brother Kenny open us with a word of prayer this morning.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you that you've been faithful to it for 135 years. And we just ask you to help us to be faithful to you, to serve you and do your will in everything that we do. And help us to have a good service today and to always remember that it's about bringing praise and honor to you. And we pray these things in the name of my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Kenny. And,
I had a mouthful of donuts.
Oh, I'm sorry. One of those mornings, I'm telling you. And, well, this morning we're talking about service. And services. And, you know, as we think about the growth of a Christian and becoming what God in Christ would have us to be, we think of, you know, really a strong, Bible-believing, missions-minded, or as we call it, a missions-hearted, because there is a difference between being missions-minded and being missions-hearted. But sin-hating, Christ-exalting, soul-winning Baptist church is essential. Really, for the growth of every Christian, if you're going to grow and be what God wants you to be, you have to find yourself plugged in to a church, because the church is where we learn the Bible. The church is where we grow and grow closer to the Lord. And if you're saved, for the Christian, for the believer, the local assembly should be one that you can build your life around. You know, so oftentimes we build our lives on things outside of the church, our careers, our families, our hobbies, our likes and things along those lines, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we should be able to, you know, a church should be, you know, a family where we can build into, where we can grow into, and just be what God would have us to be. And so who'd like to read for us this morning? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. Ms. Rose?
Good. Not forsaking assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching.
All right. Thank you there, Ms. Rose. And so, just a little bit of background on that text there of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. A lot of folks use that verse in reference to assembling together as a church. And it has to do with that, but it goes so much more than just that. In fact, last week, one of the daily devotions that I sometimes send out was actually on this particular verse, Hebrews 10:25. And while it's talking in context about the local church, it's also talking about what happens when there's a spiritual decline in the life of a believer. What happens when there's a spiritual decline in the life of a Christian? What usually happens when there's a decline in the spirituality of a Christian is one of the first things that tends to go is the attendance to church. You may have been faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. If the church had revival meetings, you were here for the revival meetings. If the church had something special going on, you were here for it. But then just over time, you know, life happens and different things occur. And before, where you were faithful three times a week, now you're just faithful two times a week. Now, where you were faithful two times a week, now you were faithful one time a week. And then And somewhere along the line, now you find yourself just faithful here and there, and really you don't find yourself faithful at all. But so we want to see what the local church means to the place and to the position of the Christian this morning. Number one, we see the place. So the English word church, and you've heard me talk about this and teach about it and preach about it any number of times, but it comes from the Greek word ekklesia, and which is found approximately, if you go to the New Testament, it's 114 times in the New Testament is how many times the word church is found. The definition of church, ekklesia, is a called out assembly. And so the church, when you just boil it all down, is an assembled assembly of baptized believers organized to carry out the Lord's work. And so a church should be called out in that it is separated from the world. And Jesus should be the focal point of each New Testament Bible-believing church. And so we see that it's a called out place. It's a place where we gather together and to do the work and the will of the Lord. And so the church, and when you go through the New Testament, you always find the church referred to as the church at Corinth, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Laodicea, the church at Sardis, the church at, and these different places. So that also teaches us this morning the importance of the local church. There is no such thing this morning as a universal invisible church. There is no such thing as, and the Catholic Church teaches us that there's a church that we cannot see. That's not the case at all. The church is always local, it's visible, it's New Testament. It is able to be seen. Also, when you think about, there's a movement today among certain Christians that they call it the house church movement, where they say, well, we can just have church in our house. Again, when we look at the scriptures, when we look at the Bible, we see that it is a local assembly at that place. And now there are churches that have been started in homes. There are churches that began in homes, and then eventually they were able to move out, get their own building, and so on and so forth. But they were not a house church, per se. And so the first thing we want to see this morning is Jesus is the founder of the church. Jesus is the founder of the church. Who'd like to read there Matthew chapter 16 and 18? Katie?
And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
All right, so Jesus says here he'll build his what?
Church.
His church, and he will build it. He is the one who is the architect of it. He is the one who is the master builder, as Corinthians calls it. He is the one who has organized it, and we have the promise there that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, that nothing that comes against the church will prevail. So not only is he the founder of the church, but secondly, we see Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. You'd like to read Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Neil?
And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence.
All right. Read that again, Neil.
We're in 1:18, right?
Yep.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he may have the preeminence.
Thank you. I had to read that again because I have the wrong word written down here. I have, and he is the bread of the body.
The bread of the body.
The bread of the body. One of those mornings, I'll tell you. But okay, so he's not the bread of the body, but what is he? The head of the body. That's right. And that he might have the what?
Preeminence.
The preeminence. He might be number one in the church. It's all about Jesus. It's all about him this morning. And he is the head of the church. And then we see there, you can also look up, who'd like to read there, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Miss Martha?
Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church,
which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
All right. Thank you, then, Ms. Martha. And so we see there, Jesus is the head of the church. No human being is the head of the church. And a lot of churches get in trouble with that, with, you know, their committees and their boards and their, everything. It's like, well, there's a light bulb out. What are we supposed to do? Well, we got to have a committee meeting to decide when to change the light bulb. We got to have a committee meeting on what light bulb to pick. We got to have a committee meeting on how many people to hold the ladder. And, what's that?
We have to have a meeting who can attend the meeting.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So you know, by the time you actually get the light bulb changed, you had 20 meetings and still no light bulb got changed. And And so by the time it gets all said and done, nothing has really gotten accomplished. And so Jesus, what's that? You know, last week I mentioned, you know, yeah, they're getting ready to dig up Keystone. We go out Monday. They were digging it up. Ms. Rose?
When I was in college, I started out in a church that was like small like this, 25 families. And by the time I graduated, they were 1,500 members strong. It was a good experience to be part of something like that.
Absolutely.
And, but the thing was, they got to the point where they had so many people that every time something needed to be done, they had to have a minister.
Yeah.
They had a minister for everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then one year, they decided that they needed to upgrade the sound system so older people would have to hear. So they put in the system. They had a clip on the pastor's top.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a big guy from Minnesota. And the kids loved him, and he loved the kids. And he'd walk down the hall, and he'd say, "Hey, how are you doing?" No, he was that kind of guy. Well, he was tired one Sunday because he had five services in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
He decided that he wanted a break, so he asked the youth pastor to take the evening service. He forgot to take the clip off his top. So he came out of his office in the hall, and the youth pastor was talking about Jesus and how he approached the woman at the well. And I'll never forget, because he said that Jesus had respect for her, he understood her, and he walked up to her and he said, "My, that's a pretty dress. I wish I had one just like you." I'll never forget the look at that youth pastor's face.
Yeah, that's why you always make sure you turn your lapel mic off when you go into the bathroom or somewhere, and yeah, and we were searching for a pastor at our church in Philly, and Brother Frank, he was the adult Sunday school teacher, and he was teaching Sunday school. And, he didn't use a lapel mic because he just, he would teach the class kind of like this in the auditorium. And so everybody would sit kind of the one side. And and he could project his voice, so he didn't have need of the microphone. And so the pastor's son and a couple of us, we were in the office getting ready for the Sunday morning service and getting him hooked up to the lapel mic. And, the sound system was on. And so he said, the pastor's son said, "You think I would freak Frank out if I said, 'Frank, this is God'?" And we said, "You probably would, so don't do that." And so he didn't do that. But the fun you can have with technology when you think about it. But, you know, Jesus is the head of the church. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the chief shepherd, as it were. And, that's why we don't get ourselves bogged down in any committees. Our first church that we took in Kansas, when we went there, they had business meetings every single month. Even if there was nothing to talk about, they had business meetings. And so one of the first things I did when we got there was I said, "Okay, we'll go to quarterly business meetings." And even then we didn't have anything to talk about. And so finally, I got tired of the business meetings, and so when we went to Oklahoma, one of the first things I said, "Okay, how many times a month or year or whatever do you have a business meeting?" And Brother Bob looked at me and said, "We don't do business meetings here." And I said, "Praise the Lord, this is my church right here." And because the pattern for a New Testament church is that he has given the church pastors, he has given the church deacons, and the Bible says in the book, I believe it's of Acts, he says, set ye over this business certain men that can oversee this business. And so that's the pastor and the deacons. And so if there's a decision to be made, then I bring the deacons in, I talk to the deacons about it, and we come to a consensus, we come to a decision about it. And now sometimes there are times that, the deacons don't agree altogether, or I don't agree. And so then what happens in that situation? Well, the pastor has that final say, that final veto power, as it were. But the Lord's been good to us where 99% of the time we come to a consensus, and we come to a conclusion or a solution, and so it all works out. And that's the way it ought to be, because the problem becomes with business meetings, well, then you start to get a lot of cooks in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then everybody has their opinion, everybody has their ideas. And then if you don't take this person's idea, they're upset. You take that person's idea, they're upset. And that's why the Lord gave the pattern that he did. Set ye certain men over this business. So then if anybody gets mad, they just get mad at the pastor and deacons, and everybody else is fine. So, so you be thankful for your pastor and your deacons. We take the shots when nobody else wants to. And so we see Jesus is the head of the church. And see this morning, we see Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Who would like to read there? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Savan?
For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
All right. So we see there, for what can no man lay?
Foundation.
That's right. For other foundation can no man lay. So we can't build any better than Christ himself has built. We can't build any better than the Lord has built. And who, Michaela, you want to read there Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20? All right.
And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Emmy Bear, how are you? All right, and so we see there, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being what?
Chief cornerstone.
The chief cornerstone, that's right. And he's the chief cornerstone. And then, so we see here the place. The place is a local called out assembly where Jesus is the founder, the head, and the chief cornerstone. And then finally for this morning, we'll look at number 2 there on your paper. And that is the purpose. The purpose of the church. So, in general, the purpose of the church should be to, number 1, evangelize the lost, edify the saved, and then you can add a third one there, and that's to glorify God. To glorify God. That is the threefold purpose of the church. To evangelize the lost, edify, that word edify means encourage the saved, and glorify God. The church should seek to be a place where the Lord can look at us and say, you know what, I am glorified in that place. I am glorified in that place. So evangelize the lost, A, means specifically to go. To evangelize the lost means specifically to go. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Who'd like to read that? Miss Martha?
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
All right, and so we see there we're to what?
Go.
Go ye therefore. Who'd like to read there Mark 16 and verse 15? Miss Sandy?
And he said unto them, go ye into the all world and preach the gospel to every creature.
And so we're to what there again?
Go.
Who would like to read Luke 14 and verse 23? Luke 14 and verse 23. You can probably guess the word without even reading it. Michaela?
Go.
Oh.
The word is go.
That's right. So go read it.
I'll read it. And the Lord said unto them, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled.
All right. Then who'd like to read there? John chapter 15 and verse 16. That's fun.
You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you.
All right, and so again, what's that last word, or that word there?
No.
Go. That's right.
Go.
And so we're to go. We're to share the gospel with the lost and dying world. You know, we all have friends, family, acquaintances that they're not in church anywhere. Maybe we don't know their where they're going to spend eternity once they die. But if we know, you know, it's like having a cure for cancer. You wouldn't keep that secret. You wouldn't keep that yourself. You'd go out and tell everybody you could that you had the cure for cancer. Then who'd like to read there? Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8. Neil?
But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judah and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
All right. So we see there we're to be what?
Witnesses.
Witnesses of what Christ has done for us. So we're to go. We're to evangelize the lost. We're to see the lost saved. See the lost come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally, we're to edify or encourage the saved. We're to build each other up. You know, as we come in the church, you know, most of us, we've come in from a long week. We're tired. We're weary. We're wore down. You know, church should be that spiritual shot in the arm. We should come. We should, when we leave church, we should leave encouraged. We should leave edified. We should leave built up. We shouldn't leave discouraged. We shouldn't leave thinking, oh, man, why did I go to church today? And no, we should leave built up. We should edify. And so there are three purposes that are mentioned in this following verse we're going to read. Who'd like to read there? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Katie?
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
All right. So here's the three purposes and how we build each other up in the church. For the what? Number one?
Perfecting.
The perfecting of the saints. So as we come to church, you know, yes, we're still sinners saved by grace. We're still sinners. We're still going to struggle. But as we come to church and as we learn more of the Bible, as we learn more about God, as we learn more about Jesus, as we grow in our faith, as we grow to know more about him, then we are perfected in him. Now, there's no such thing this side of heaven as sinless perfection. We're never going to be sinless this side of heaven, but we can sin less with the Lord's help. So for the perfecting of the saints, and then secondly, for the blank of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. And so when we come into church, yes, we're to be edified, we're to be encouraged, but also you have to realize that church is work. Church is, and depending on the church, sometimes there's a lot of work that needs to be done. But
should be.
That's right. There's a lot of work that needs to go on in the church. And last night we came over and I picked Mandy up from work at about 7 o'clock, and I said, well, we just have to go to the fellowship hall. Make sure the fellowship hall is ready for tomorrow, just double check it. And
you said the dreaded word should be done.
I said should be done, and because I want to make sure the trash was together and different things like that. And long story short, we were here till about 10:30, and I was with people helping earlier in the day. And part of that's my OCD and different things like that. But there's the work of the ministry. There's work that needs to go in. So that's why we partly overslept this morning, because I did not want to get up this morning. And for the work of the ministry. And then the third part, for the what of the body of Christ?
Edifying.
That's right. So for the edifying, the encouragement of the body of Christ. And so this morning, we see the church is a place. It's a local, called out assembly, ecclesia. And then the church has a purpose. The church's purpose is to evangelize the lost, and also to edify the believer and encourage or glorify the Lord. And so next week, we'll look at numbers 3, 4, and 5 there on your sheet. The pattern the people, and the personnel. And so we'll look at that next Sunday morning. But any questions regarding the church? Any questions regarding what the church is supposed to be? Miss Sandy?
Aren't we like the apostles? We're supposed to go out and bring people. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, that one verse we looked at there, the Bible says we're to compel them to come in, you know? And disciples. The disciples, apostles, two different things. Yeah, we're to be disciples, and then we're to make disciples. And but it's easy to get those two words confused. I get them confused too. And so, any other questions? All right, let's pray, and we'll be dismissed this morning.